You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking New York Mets with Mets broadcaster Howie Rose. And it's been an interesting offseason already for the Mets, perhaps more so than people expected in the early going. The biggest development, obviously, was the signing of Michael Kadire. And I had some inclination earlier in the winter that the Mets would be particularly hesitant to part with a draft pick, even for a star player. And they go and make that move. Was it surprising at all to you that they were willing to make that decision, or was it just so necessary to get that bat that it was understandable regardless?
Mildly surprising, Matthew, and good to be with you. I think that there is a feeling within the organization that it's time. It's time to take that next step. And at this point, I don't think there was a lot of patience for what was going to be 3 or 4 years down the road in all likelihood, meaning the time frame before you get any real production out of that first-round pick. There are some good live arms in this organization. Some other good young players have started to make an imprint. And so the feeling, I think, organization-wide is strap it on. We're in business. It's all about winning now.
Is that urgency self-generated? Is that just something they've decided, or is that in any way a result from any kind of external pressure, frustration among the fan base, that sort of thing?
Oh, I just think it's natural when you've had the kind of last half dozen years the Mets have that patience is bound to grow thin, and that's what's happened. Generally speaking, the fan base is going to find its patience a lot shorter than the organization's, because even though they all want to get to the same place, there are different agendas in terms of how to do that. But I think there's unanimity now in the feeling that enough losing, enough non-contending. Every game's got to mean something in 2015 with the goal of playing in the postseason.
To what extent have the Mets kind of taken note of what's gone on around the division? And I mean, particularly in Atlanta, and I certainly wouldn't rule out the Mets, the Braves yet. Braves could have a very good ball club next year, but it seems like the Braves may be looking a couple of years down the road right now. The Phillies have acknowledged that they may be looking a couple of years down the road. The Marlins should be improved, but it looks like that there may be a little more of an opening within the division, that the division might be that might look a little different next year. Is that something that sort of has been taken note of within the Mets front office?
Parenthetically, I'm sure, but as a driving force towards doing whatever they are going to do this winter, never mind what they have already done, I think you have to have a certain degree of blinders on when it comes to that. Now, this is just my opinion, and general managers in various cities might well disagree, and I may be flat wrong on it, but I think when you are in a rebuilding mode, as the Mets have been, and in fact are coming out of that rebuilding mode, you know, you've got to be true to the plan, and you've got to do what basically has been your mindset from the beginning, to develop these young players, get them ready to win, strengthen numbers, as they certainly have, or seem to have with pitching in particular, and I subscribe to that axiom that you never can have enough, and then when you feel you're ready to strike, go make your big hit, whether it's via free agency or trade, and if in fact that coincides with one or two other teams in the division taking a step back, because they need to do something akin to, in the Mets' case, what they were starting to do several years ago, I'm sure that factors in a bit, but I think you've got to be mostly concerned with where your organization is at the present time, and if there is room to maneuver around a team or two that may be slip-sliding backwards, then fine, go for it.
What was it that made Michael Kadire the right fit for them at this time?
Versatility. Personality, not to be taken lightly, by the way, but I think the fact that he can play first base against a tough left-handed pitcher if the Mets want to give Lucas Duda a day or so off, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think that's the motivating force or anything close to it behind bringing him in. He's a strong, high-character guy. He has a relationship, of course, going back many, many years with David Wright, and David was pitching very hard for the organization to pursue and sign him, just as he was lobbying lobbying Michael Kadire to come to the Mets. I think he's a fit. He'll stretch their lineup. His numbers over the last 5 years on the road have been very good. I believe he's a .285 hitter the last 5 years away from home. And that's important when the last couple of years were played at Coors Field, because we all know how inflated, bloated, and distorted those numbers can be. But, you know, from all indications, the biggest and perhaps only real concern about Kadire is, can he stay healthy, given that he didn't even play 50 games last year? And how many games can he play at the age of 35 going on 36?
So with him in the fold, what's next? What does this team still want to accomplish? I mean, it does seem like that corner bat was really the one priority. They seem to maybe have still something of a surplus of starting pitching if they wanted to upgrade elsewhere. What do you think the next priorities are as they try to build the 2015 Mets?
I'll give you two. One perhaps less of a priority now, if only because of what's out there, than it might have been conceptually or theoretically late in the season. That would be shortstop. And the other, which I think is a strong priority, is to add a left-handed arm in that bullpen. Josh Edgen has been there and had kind of an up-and-down year last year. He didn't make the club out of spring training, which was a disappointment. He's got good stuff, but they want to see the same sort of swash buckling mentality that Edgen brought with him to the big leagues a few years ago. For whatever reason, at times he's gotten away from that. And he's got the stuff when he's throwing at his peak velocity with a real good slider, where you say, you know what, this guy can get lefties out consistently, should, and even get some right-handers out. But again, consistency is the key word with him. I think in a perfect world, they'd like a veteran left-handed reliever. Those things can be awfully expensive, as we just found out with Zach Duke. I don't think anybody expected, 3 years, and what was it, $15 million for Zach Duke. But, you know, that can be prohibitive to most teams. And I don't think the Mets were going to go anywhere near that for a situational reliever. But I think that's clearly an area where they'd like to upgrade. Shortstop's intriguing because Wilmer Flores has a bat that's got a chance to play in the major leagues. His range, his ability at shortstop is certainly questionable. He was better than I think a lot of us were led to believe that he was going to be at the position when he played it last year. But I don't know that a team with championship aspirations can necessarily be comfortable with someone who has his limitations at shortstop. He can grow, though. He's doing a great job, even this offseason, so I'm made to understand from things I've read and heard, of streamlining his body even more, which he did last winter. This is a kid who really wants to succeed at the major league level and put the work in necessary to do that, and I think, you know, there will be a lot of discussion the rest of this offseason around the organization about which way to go. Do you bring in a shortstop? Is the right guy out there? Or do you give it to Flores and see if he can handle it?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of raised this yourself. The seems to me that the issue, as much as anything, is what's the alternative. And so I ask you that, as somebody who's kind of keeping an eye on this, if it's not Flores, what is the alternative as far as another shortstop option?
Internally, I don't think it's there yet. I don't think Ruben Tejada is going to be given an opportunity to win that job in spring training. I think he's had his chance. I think that, frankly, the organization might be a little disappointed in how he's approached his business over the last couple of years, and I think he's frankly played his way out of that position. Now, you've got a fellow named Matt Reynolds who had a tremendous year at both AA and AAA and has come a long way in a short time with a bat. But realistically, I don't think he'd be ready to be your everyday shortstop on opening day. So, you know, there could be two leap of faiths there. One, that Flores can handle the job. Two, that perhaps Reynolds might be able to grab it at some point during next season. I think right now, unless they were to go out and wait out someone who's a veteran in the free agent market and try to get him in a very team-friendly deal, a Stephen Drew, a Jed Lowry, then there's a pretty good chance they are going to go to spring training with Flores as the shortstop. If that's the case, I would think you'd want to have a real strong, solid defender to back him up in case you have a late innings lead. You might want to replace him. I don't think that person's in the organization just yet.
And do you get the impression, this is the impression I've gotten from talking to Anthony DiComo previously, do you get the impression that they're not inclined, I mean, the one surplus they do have is starting pitching. Do you get the impression, even in this, to some extent, win-now mode, that they would not be inclined to deal a starting pitcher in order to get that shortstop upgrade?
Well, you know, there are a couple of ways you could look at that, and I think one is under the supposition that the value, ironic as it is, that starting pitchers have always been looked at as perhaps the most precious commodity in all of baseball, I think that's perhaps changed a little bit, if only because of the tremendous amount of Tommy John surgeries that pitchers have gone through over the years, to the point where the starting pitching might be devalued a little bit, because a general manager is always going to be wary of a guy who might break down or hasn't had his Tommy John yet, or sadly in several cases there have been some pitchers with multiple Tommy John surgeries. I'm not quite sure you can get what you used to be able to get for a starting pitcher, all things being equal. And they're not equal now, because what's happened over the years is that as the steroids era has ended and as things have gone back to reality as far as power is concerned, power numbers are down everywhere. That's the precious commodity in the game now. That's why Giancarlo Stanton was able to get the deal he did from the Miami Marlins of all teams. So I think the Mets might be hesitant on a couple of levels to trade starting pitching, but I think if you had to back me against a wall and say would they look to move one, I would say yes, and it would probably be either Jonathan Neese or Dylan G.
Gotcha. All right. Well, good stuff. Thanks very much for taking some time with us here on MLB.com Extras. Howie Rose, I appreciate the time, and I'm Matthew Leach. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.